Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Postable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 56 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff, sitting alongside next to me is my real life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on this show, we have our normal news. Got Jax Classic Series 20 to cover, along with another series of two packs. Your secret question two, count them, two top fives, and who booked this?
Two.
What do you think?
Let's do it.
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, FullyPosablePodcast.com, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Keep those reviews on iTunes coming. Those help us out immensely. You can email us any questions, comments, wishlists, FullyPosableWFP@gmail.com. And Scott, I am not going to wow you this week. So I'm setting the bar low on you.
Oh, man. I really had high hopes for this week's WFP, dude. It's been like it was really bothering me this weekend. I'm like, you know, Jeff's been doing really well lately. I'm truly wondering how the WFP is going to go when we record.
So just ignore me on this segment and go ahead and just turn around and start watching some wrestling that's on the back.
Yes. And by the way, let's let our listeners know that the match that's about to start, because I'm doing a binge watch of the WrestleManias before WrestleMania 33. I want to watch every WrestleMania before then.
Uh-huh.
And so, forcing your hand, WrestleMania 3 is on in the background.
Again, Scott, that's Fully Posable. W as in wrath.
Wow. Okay, that's not bad. That's a good start.
Oh, thank you. F as in Fatu.
Okay. Dude, you're bringing it. Good job.
And P as in Randy Poffo. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's doable. It's a real name.
Did you already use Lanny and
Yes, I've
Angelo?
Already used, I didn't use Angelo. I did use Lanny.
Would you like to go into edit mode now and change your Randy Poffo to Angelo Poffo?
Nope, I'm leaving it Randy.
Ugh. So you're using real names now. That opens up a whole new world for WFP.
Ah, but I have in past episodes used Leon White.
But he went by Leon White in AWA, didn't he?
Crap, he did. Whoops.
Or yeah, I think it was Leon Baby Bull White.
Ah, crap. You're right. Wait, didn't Randy Poffo use his name before he came to WWE? Or was it always Randy Savage?
He might have been Randy Poffo like way, way before. But I know in Memphis, he was Randy Savage.
Okay.
But maybe when he started out as like a young jobber, he might have been Randy Poffo.
All right. Yeah, I'm using real names now.
That, dude, that opens up a whole new world for WFP. This is good.
I know.
We're really going to test your knowledge. Do you know their real name and their ring name?
Ooh.
There you go.
That's pretty good. I think I'm also going to have the listeners start sending in WFPs because
yes.
56 episodes in, I'm running out of W's, I'm running out of F's, and I'm running out of P's. So
yeah.
As I said, I'm trying not to use wrestler database. Sometimes special guest Sean and I will be sitting there at work and all of a sudden he'd be like, you know, have you used this guy? And I'm like, oh, perfect. Boom. Put it on the list.
Oh, perfect. There's a P.
Have I used Mr. Perfect?
You can edit that out and use it in a later podcast.
Yeah, I'll do that.
No need in giving out two P's this week. We're starting to get thin on material.
Yeah, right. Listeners, if you want to send in a WFP, I'll credit you. You can go ahead and DM us. Just message us. I will give you credit.
Slide into our DMs with a WF or P.
Oh, that's disturbing.
I didn't say slip into our DMs with the D.
Better wrap this up at gmail.com. Scott, did you do any toy spotting this week?
No, I was really lame this past weekend. I was actually sick on Sunday. Saturday, we were busy most of the day. So no, I did not do any toy spotting. I didn't make it out to Walmart to look for the wave two of the Hasbros. But since I'm not seeing them on Twitter, I'm not too worried that I'm going to miss them. But I am going to be out this weekend hunting down that Nakamura defining moment. I have to have that figure.
Yeah, that figure looks great. I know Connor on our Twitter, and who's been a longtime listener, he sent us pictures of his Nakamura that he got. and it looks great. It really, really does, man. I'm like looking at it and I'm like, that is a good figure. I like the background of the defining moment. I've always liked what they did in the backgrounds, like the Hogan Hulkamania one or the Sting Crow one. I just love what they do in the background of the defining moments.
Yeah, it looks excellent. I'm going to be torn when I receive it. Do I want to open it? Do I want to leave it in the packaging? Chances are good that it stays in the packaging. But man, I'm going to be so tempted once I have it in hand to crack that thing open. I'm hoping at the time that I pick it up, I can afford to. If not, I will hope that that Elite comes out super quick. I got to have it open, Nakamura.
We did do toy spotting. We went to our San Leandro Walmart on Monday. They had the TNF's Elites, and that was about it. They didn't even have the Hasbros or the Mattel Hasbros. They didn't even have those.
Good. I'm hoping that they keep selling out because that ensures future series.
Exactly. Before we jump into our news, make sure you go back and download our special interview with PW Torch Collectibles columnist Michael Moore. Really fun interview with Michael. He tells a lot of great stories. He does go into some details with certain interviews that went wrong with certain wrestlers. We won't say that person's name because he shall not be named on our show.
Shame.
Shame. He does go over collecting cards, collecting figures. It's a really good interview, so go back and make sure you download that. It's a fun little listen.
It was an easy conversation, really, because we kind of come from the same background of figure collecting. He started out with the LJNs. He started watching wrestling the exact same time that you and I did, around 1985. So yeah, it was just a real easy conversation. That was a real good common ground for us to jump off of, our love of wrestling figures. And the conversation really flowed from there. And he has a lot of experience talking to different guys and collecting different toys that we all love. So yeah, it was a great interview, and I hope you all listen to it. It was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, so make sure you go back and download that. Scott, we've got quite a bit of news. So what do you say we jump into it?
Let's talk about it.
You didn't know?
Scott, in the news this week, Mattel Hasbro Series 2, they announced, is set to come out in fall of 2017. So the way Mattel has been pushing everything out, it should be out in June.
Yeah, exactly. They're really starting to blow through this stuff, which I like, man. We're getting like a network exclusive once a month. Hey, if I can get three or four series of these Hasbro throwbacks per year, I'm a happy camper.
I was actually shocked because they said fall of 2017. I was like, well, the way that everything has been coming out, because the original Mattel Hasbros were supposed to come out in March. And those came out right as the calendar flipped, basically.
Yeah, I like what Mattel is doing and the fact that they are under-promising and over-delivering, meaning that they're going to tell us fall of 2017, but it's actually going to be probably more like July or August of 2017.
So it's like when you go to a restaurant and they say the wait's going to be 45 minutes and it's only actually like 15 to 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's similar to that.
Yeah, you're a happy camper.
Yep. Speaking of network spotlight, the Undertaker one started hitting California shelves. I haven't seen it yet. I hate this because I said I was not going to get any more Undertaker figures after the defining moment Undertaker, but this one looks really, really good.
No, it really does. And when we saw the three on paper that they had originally announced, which was the McMahon, the Undertaker, and the Finn Balor, if you had asked me the least favorite one on that list, it would have absolutely been the Undertaker. But depending on how Finn looks, Undertaker might be my favorite out of those three.
I don't want any more Takers, but man, this is a really good looking one.
It's an excellent Taker, and at the speed that these things are coming out, we had the McMahon come out January, Undertaker hit February, they already said March, April for the Finn to coincide with WrestleMania.
Right.
I'm wondering if like May or June, we're going to get a Charlotte Network exclusive. But I'm really hoping, like how that Bayley came out of nowhere in the network exclusive line, I'm really hoping they surprise us with a Charlotte. I'm keeping my fingers crossed because they absolutely have to hit us with a good Charlotte.
You said good Charlotte.
Oh, God, I did say good Charlotte. I apologize to the listeners. I don't try to use foul language on here. My apologies.
There were new pictures shown of Then, Now, and Forever Basics. Austin comes with a cheesy, basic-looking skull belt, which, okay, it's another Austin.
Very basic.
Neville with a red cape. I thought that was kind of interesting that they threw a cape on a basic.
I think that's a good looking figure.
I do too. Ultimate Warrior. Now it's the Ultimate Warrior where he has the logo on the cheek, the look that you and yes. I never liked.
No, at all.
So I don't know if I'm going to get that.
Yeah, that's a hard pass for me, unfortunately.
And Sheamus with the WWE World title. another thing dropped today, and it was per a research group, it's NPD Retail Group. WWE had the second highest selling action figure property in the US behind Star Wars last year. What do you think?
I think that's amazing that the WWE line is that big. We often complain about not being able to find figures out here on the West Coast. Hopefully that changes with as big as Mattel is now. We're starting to actually see on Twitter that California obviously is getting the new Undertaker Network exclusive. I hope that that kind of changes things and we start to kind of catch up with the East Coast on receiving newer things based on how popular they are with sales.
So I thought that was kind of cool that WWE was second behind Star Wars.
That's an amazing feat for the Mattel and WWE. Man, to be behind Star Wars, I mean, all the other lines that are out there, you have Turtles, you've got Batman, Marvel, all of these huge licenses. And there's WWE falling in at number two. That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was great also. And also pictures today dropped. It is a basic ring with big blue cage that comes with, are you ready, Scott?
I think so.
Ultimate Warrior and Rick Rude.
Yeah, I saw the pictures of that on Twitter. Wow, man, that is awesome. It's not going to come over here because apparently it is, like you said, a UK exclusive.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate, but if I happen to catch one on eBay at a decent price, or if one of our UK listeners wants to hit us up and we'll send money and payment for shipment and the toy ring, man, that thing is awesome. I mean, to get it, number one, it's not a match that a lot of people talk about historically, that Warrior and Rude cage match from SummerSlam, but man, how cool that they actually did it.
Warrior's in black trunks. Rude is in kind of like a yellow and red.
It looks like a yellow slash maroon with his picture on the front of the tights.
Yep.
Just looks so good. And I've been wanting a Rude to go with the Heenan family four pack. So, because I've got a Paul Orndorff basic to go with it. And I really want a Rude. Man, that would be a nice addition.
And it comes with the big blue cage, too. That's a plus.
A bonus. Yeah, bonus.
Scott, FTC news. What do you got?
Yes, FTC this week. Let's get the small one out of the way first. Well, not small, but not a huge reveal on it. They showed the head sculpt for the Shane Douglas. It looks really, really good. They also showed rendering of what he will look like in his outfit. They kind of showed what the trunks are going to look like. They gave a full color picture of the head sculpt. It looks really, really good. The one that to me was more exciting than that, no offense to the Shane Douglas fans, they showed a start to finish, so a picture all the way through to the final finished action figure of Luke Gallows.
And they nailed that figure. Like every time I see that figure, I'm like, I'm not going to get Gallows. And then I see it and I'm like, wow, that is a really good Gallows. Maybe I should get that.
Yeah, I think passing on that figure is a mistake. I hate to say it because the $30 price tag, we've had a lot of discussions about that. This figure fully warrants the $30 price tag, in my opinion. Between the job that they did on the head sculpt, capturing the face paint, to the long jacket that they captured perfectly, down to his wrestling boots that have like the buckles on them, all the attention to detail. And you look at the picture compared to the action figure, it's perfect. It's spot on. It's so good. I have no problem spending $30 on that figure.
Yep. And they nailed the face paint that he would wear over in New Japan too.
Yes, exactly.
They did a great job on that.
It's just a really neat thing to look at from what Chris said, the talent being so involved in it, handing that off to the sculpt and then going from the picture of the guy to the finished product with the finished sculpt, the jacket, the body, the attention to detail on his ring gear. It's just a great, great figure. I highly recommend it. If you haven't seen the picture, go check out Figures Toy Company. I am way more excited now for that Gallows figure than I was, say, 4 months ago.
Scott, Jack's Classic Series 20. This is the one that I've been most excited about.
Because of Cena?
Absolutely. Let's get into Jack's Classic Series 20.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees.
Scott, Jack's Classic Series 20. This one I was so excited about.
Mark.
Whatever. This one I deserved a mark, dude. The second they announced one name on here, and after you get done reading it, I'll go into it, I just could not wait for this series to come out. So why don't you go ahead and hit it up?
All right, here we go. Jack's Classic Series 20. consisted of the Dynamite Kid, and he was packaged with a tag team title.
Okay, stop right there. Yeah, that was the name. That was the name.
Mark.
I was so excited, dude. The minute they announced Dynamite Kid, dude, I was so happy that he was under contract. I was so pumped to get this first Dynamite Kid since his LJN. Yes. The second they announced it, dude, I could not wait for the series, and I was going to Toys R Us like day in and day out looking for this figure.
It was one of those things when you saw that they had released the two packs with Legion of Doom, the Heart Foundation, and the Rockers. You're like, dude, this set screams for a British Bulldogs two pack.
Yep.
So yes, it took them some time, but they finally did score Dynamite Kid, and I think when that name popped up on the future series that were coming out, everybody there was much rejoicing. It was fantastic.
And I was so excited because my brain just started going AWOL of what they could do. You know, first thing, as you said, the British Bulldogs two-pack.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we did get that.
Yeah, and they completely crapped the bed with that one. But aside from that, they totally made up for it with the Deluxe Classic line. So
the Deluxe Classic, those two figures are still number two and number three on my top five list ever.
Yep, those are fantastic figures. So, continuing along with Jack's Classic Series 20, we have The Rock, because apparently they had a ton of rock heads and bodies laying around. So, hey, why not throw them in Classic Series 20?
They had the magic dumpster in the back, the Jack's magic dumpster.
Yeah, that magically produced rock parts.
Yeah.
Which is why we had so many rocks.
Yeah, where apparently FTC is going to get their parts.
Right, the magic Jack's dumpster.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Continuing on, we had Ron Simmons, who was packaged with the big gold belt, a la his WCW heavyweight title run when he beat Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Atlas, Rey Mysterio, Ric Flair, who was in the green trunks and green robe. He was packaged with the world title. And finally, the LJN throwback in this series was John Cena. Do I need to ask what your favorite figure was?
No, not at all. The Rey Mysterio was really, really good. In fact, I never saw it.
Yeah, it was hard to explain how the series was packaged because, like, the Rey Mysterio, for example, really tough to find. Really tough to find. Like, how many were per case? I don't know, but he was a tough spot. So I don't know. Maybe he was a one per case figure and, you know, the kids were still buying up the Rey Mysterio, so he was impossible to find, but I didn't see him either.
Yeah, I never saw him at KB Toys. I never saw him at Toys R Us. I unfortunately did see the Dynamite Kid quite often, and I picked up, I think I had three of them.
Yeah, luckily he was not the tough spot out of this series.
The John Cena LJN, lucky on that one. I went to KB Toys midday during the day when most people are working. I snuck down to Stone Ridge Mall and walked in, and I was scrummaging through the figures, and I saw the blue side, and I was like, whoa, only one they had, only time I ever saw it. And I was luckily able to pick that up.
Yeah, you didn't have to go to the secondary market because you would have gotten fleeced on it. So yeah, it's a good thing that you did find it. My favorite figure out of this series, I think because of my excitement, I'm going to side with you and say Dynamite Kid, but I really like that Ric Flair too.
The Ric Flair was good because he came with the green trunk, the world title, green robe. I thought it was really good. The other one I passed on, but I just recently picked up was the Ron Simmons. He was in these blue tights, came with the world title, and I passed originally on it. Because it was an oversaturation of Ron Simmons figures.
Yeah.
I saw it again at the vintage toy store here in Alameda, California.
Yes.
I looked at it and I'm like, man, that's actually a really good figure. And the editor goes, just get it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, it is really good. And it definitely captures him from his WCW title run, which was really surprising when it went down. I didn't expect him to beat Vader because Vader had recently beat Sting for the world title. So I figured he was pretty much unbeatable at that point. And man, Ron Simmons beat him out of left field. And you're like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And this figure just totally captures him from that run. They did a great job on that figure.
So Dynamite Kid was my favorite figure out of this one.
I'm going to side with you on excitement alone for that figure.
The only thing that they missed on the Dynamite Kid figure, he didn't come with knee pads.
Right. They did miss on that one, much like they missed in the British Bulldogs 2-pack that would come out in a later series, how they gave the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith, long hair with his dreads. Like, they're like, hey, guys, let's just take his old head that we had with the long hair. Just throw that on there. Nobody's going to notice. Hey, guess what, Jax? We did notice, and you just made the list.
We did notice, and I think a lot of people noticed, and that's why they had to go back and redo the Deluxe Classics.
Yes, and thank goodness they did, because those figures came out so good, and at some point we will be discussing those in depth. But yeah, they definitely made right with that screwed up two-pack with those Deluxe Classics.
So Scott, we are going to also do the two-packs.
Bonus round.
Jack's Classic 2-pack Series 6. Go ahead.
Much like Series 1, throwing out that strong lineup with LOD, the Heart Foundation, and the Rockers. Series 6 2-packs really brought it with another strong lineup, and it consisted of the Hollywood Blondes, Strikeforce, and, much to our delight and much more rejoicing, the Midnight Express.
Here's what I was so excited about. Not only were we getting Hollywood Blondes, and I was getting Strikeforce, but the Midnight Express was with Stan Lane. I would not have been happy if it was with Condry.
I would have.
You would have?
I would have. I'm more of a traditionalist, so when I first started watching the Midnight Express, it was Dennis Condry and Beautiful Bobby Eaton with Jim Cornette. But I would agree with you if you were to argue that the Midnight Express with Stan Lane was the more maybe athletic and exciting pairing of the Midnight Express, as opposed to the Dennis Condry and Beautiful Bobby Eaton pairing.
Now here comes my markout moment. Was getting that Strike Force set, man. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Rick Martel in the Strike Force t-shirt, Tito in the jacket. I just loved it, man. The Hollywood Blondes, don't get me wrong, it was cool having that. But having Strike Force figures again, oh, dude. I was happy as a clam.
Says the kid that cried at WrestleMania 4 when Demolition beat Strike Force.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never admitted that on this show.
Allegedly cried.
Mom and Dad did not have to escort me from the Oakland Coliseum seat up into the walkway area where everyone gets food because I was crying.
Yeah.
that did not happen.
Blamed me. Scott poked me in the eyes. I'm not crying because of the wrestling.
How could Fuji do such a thing?
Yeah. The commissioner will certainly turn this over.
You know, Mr. Fuji has not only screwed over Strikeforce and Bret Hart, but he screwed over me a lot, dude. Strikeforce.
Yeah.
And then throwing the salt in Bret Hart's eyes at WrestleMania 9. Come on, man.
Yeah, Mr. Fuji really gave you a lot of Pearl Harbors back in the day, didn't he?
The Hollywood Blondes was also really good. They did a pretty good job on the Pillman figure. I guess that Pillman face is hard to capture.
It really is, and we've discussed that on past episodes, that there really aren't a lot of really good Pillmans, because like you said, it must be just like a hard face to capture, but this is one of the rare good ones, I think.
Yeah, exactly, and what I loved about these figures is they just captured the Hollywood Blondes, the vest, the black trunks, just everything. Everything around the Hollywood Blondes they captured with these figures.
Yeah, and I feel the same way about the Midnight Express, that Jax really did not phone it in really on any of these three teams. They really did them justice. Strikeforce is probably the least favorite of mine out of this set. Just, I think really because I wasn't a huge Strikeforce fan, but I really was a big Hollywood Blondes fan and an even bigger Midnight Express fan. Jax could have phoned it in, like I mentioned with the British Bulldogs 2-pack that they came out with where they put the wrong head on Davey Boy. Or the Rock and Roll Express, for example, that we'll get to in a later podcast, where they're not that great. And I think maybe they phoned it in a little bit on the face scans or the face sculpts. But with the Blondes and the Midnight Express and Strikeforce, they really nailed everything about the figures and did not phone it in. So kudos to Jax. This was a really, really strong series and one of their better series of the two packs.
You were not a Strikeforce fan?
No, dude, not really.
You're fired. I'm firing you. You fired Sean, I'm firing you.
Oh, yeah?
Fine.
You know what I do to guys that fire me from podcasts? Do ya?
By the way, did you see WWE Shop just started selling a clipboard that says the list of Jericho?
I did. They're really missing the boat by not coming out with a phone case. I'm telling you.
I agree with
you. They need to come out with with as many times as you've walked up to Celeste with your stylus out on your Samsung Note.
Yeah.
If it said List of Jericho on the back of your phone, it'd really sell it. They need phone cases, man, I'm telling you.
Speaking of the Rock and Roll Express, what do you think about them going into the Hall of Fame?
Long overdue. Yes. I will say that. I'm very, very happy, excited, thrilled, overjoyed that the Rock and Roll Express is about to get their due in the WWE. Just because they didn't wrestle in the WWE at their peak, they did wrestle for them, but they were definitely on the downside of their career. At the Rock and Roll Express's height in Mid-South, NWA, and early WCW, I would be hard-pressed to name a better tag team in that era than the Rock and Roll Express. The Midnight Express was very evenly matched with them. The Road Warriors, obviously my favorite tag team of all time, but as far as like being very technical in the ring, understanding what the tag team game was all about, I gotta give it to the Rock and Roll Express, man. They were just so good, and I'm so happy that WWE is about to honor them and put them into the Hall of Fame. They are so deserving of it, and I truly hope that the Midnight Express follows them in either this year, if they're yet to be announced, although they usually only do one tag team, or next year. I would love to see the Midnights go in next, and this means we're going to get them in the WWE 2K18 game next year. We're probably going to get a Hall of Fame 2-pack at Target, so we'll finally be able to see what Mattel can do with the Rock and Roll Express, but I am thrilled that they're finally going to get their just due from the WWE.
I know, me too, man. I was so excited when I heard that on Monday. It made me actually want to go back to a Hall of Fame. I said, after Savage goes in, I'm not going to any more Hall of Fames. They're too long.
Yes.
The fans interrupt. It gets annoying.
Yes.
But man, how do I pass up not going with Rock and Roll? Because I was the biggest Rock and Roll Express fan when I was a kid, man. I adored them.
I don't know anybody that liked them more than you did.
And to hear that on Monday was just so... It just made me so happy because I remember when we went to the Jim Ross show back in New Orleans, I asked Jim, I said, why isn't the Rock and Roll Express or the Midnight Express in the Hall of Fame? And he looks at me and he goes, I don't know. I can't answer that. I just don't know. The only thing I could say is that they weren't made by Vinnie Mac. So,
yes.
So that's the only thing. And I'm like, well, if that's the case, why isn't Demolition in?
Yeah, he made them.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, yeah, I was super stoked. I don't know if I'm going to go to the Hall of Fame again. Sitting there for three and a half hours and having people interrupt, having people talk around you when you're trying to listen to the speech, it just gets so annoying. So I don't know if I'm going to go, but I'm happy that they're going in.
Yes.
Because I remember every Saturday, man, I used to tune in for the Rock and Roll Express. That's the reason I would tune in to NWA at 3:30 or 3:05, sorry, 6:05 yep. In the East Coast. But that's the reason I tuned in is because I wanted to see the Rock and Roll Express. And I don't know, have you watched SmackDown from Tuesday night yet?
Not yet.
Chad Gable and Jordan did a Rock and Roll Express move.
The double drop kick?
They did the double drop kick. But you know how Ricky and Robert always used to kind of stand on the guy's pelvis area? And then they would kind of do this roll through, go attack the guy on the outside, and then do the double drop kick?
Yes.
Jordan Gable did it.
That's awesome.
I was like, oh, that's awesome that they did it. I don't know if anybody else caught it, but I was like, that's awesome.
I didn't know I could love you guys more, but I totally can.
Yeah, so kudos to them for doing that move. I thought that was great.
That's awesome.
Scott, time to turn our love fest off. Well, your love fest. I love how you get angry about the secret question every week.
Hold on, I need to get into character. Let me turn on angry. Oh, secret question? All right.
Let's get into it. Scott, before we get into your surprise question, we have two, count them, two top five lists. First one comes from at the Dave Dynasty on Twitter. Number one, Hasbro Series 1 Macho Man.
And there's much rejoicing.
Yes. Wait.
We love Macho Man around these parts.
Yeah, we love Macho, Kevin Owens, Bret Hart, Strikeforce.
And the list goes on.
Strikeforce.
No, hey, speak for yourself.
Number two, LJN British Bulldogs Tag Team Set. I was actually marking out when he put that on the list.
Man, I just remember getting that set and just being so excited that the British Bulldogs were laying on my bed. Full of rubber and British bulldoggedness. It was awesome.
Didn't I put baby oil on them or something too?
I don't know how you lived your life as a kid, dude. That was up to you. I didn't judge you. You did your own thing, and I respected you for it.
You always loved me.
Well, I was just not get carried away.
I was always your favorite brother.
One out of one's not bad.
Number three, Mattel Elite Series 24 Rey Mysterio.
That's an excellent Rey Mysterio figure.
Yeah, I actually have that signed. Unfortunately, when Rey was signing it, the silver pen that he was using was starting to kind of fade out.
Oh, dude.
He had to keep tracing over. It wasn't a paint pen. It was a Sharpie. And he had to keep He had to keep tracing over it, so the autograph didn't come out that great.
Kind of a choppy signature, and it looks forced, maybe.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, it looks like the Marty Jannetty one that I have on that Michaels, or that I should say the Rockers Mattel 2-pack.
Oh, that sucks, man. Yeah.
Number four, Mattel Hall of Fame Target Series 2 Eddie Guerrero. It's the one where he came with roses. He has the Latino Heat shirt on.
Yeah, it's awesome. That's a great Eddie figure.
And last, and we will have to admit, we didn't know this one, but we did a Google Images search on it. CMLL Atlantis figure. So Atlantis has a mask, a blue and white mask on, shirtless. He has a blue and white tights on, and he's kind of in an LJN with his arms up pose.
Okay.
It's a pretty cool looking figure.
So were these like Hasbros where they had like a mechanism of some type, or were they more like a Galoob that didn't have a lot of action to it?
It's kind of an LJN Galoob where they're just kind of stuck in a pose.
Okay.
And he kind of has his arms up like Austin used to do when he would go up the ropes.
Okay.
Without the middle fingers. But he would have his, he had his arms up like this. It was a pretty cool looking figure.
Okay.
It would have made a great LJN.
We didn't really get into like international figures when we were collecting. Because we really didn't have access to watch the wrestling too much. Aside from when WCW did that show with Japan.
Right.
We weren't really familiar with Mexican or Japan wrestling. So therefore, we didn't really have any interest in collecting the figures. So yeah, we'll admit ignorance on this one. We did not know what this figure was when we saw it.
That's one of my goals this year, is to study up on international figures from Mexico to Japan. That's one of my goals this year.
Goals?
Goals.
All right.
Yeah.
Way to better yourself, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I have enough on my plate, so why not add another goal?
Bringing that international flavor. I like it.
Yeah. Thank you at the Dave Dynasty. Second one is from John Perry. He actually says he is our number one fan from Wales.
That's awesome.
I know, right? John Perry, he said number one, defining moment, Bret Hart.
Can't argue with that one.
Yep. Number two, Amazon exclusive Mankind.
I really like that Mankind figure.
Yeah, they did a good job on it. It came in, didn't it come in basic packaging or something like that?
Yeah, and it was like a smaller white card, it looked like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they really captured Mankind well on that one.
Yep. Number three, Legend Series Bam Bam Bigelow.
I can't argue with that choice at all. Another great Bam Bam.
Yep. Elite 16 CM Punk. You can never go wrong with any CM Punk figures.
Nope, they always did well.
Even the basics.
Yeah, absolutely. Even the basics.
And last, ringside exclusive Shawn Michaels. I believe it's the one that came out where he was dressed as the Heartbreak Kid.
Yes, the one that they made from the WWF magazine cover.
Yes.
When he was in like the red and the white. Yeah, that is such a good figure.
I think it's that one. I don't believe it's your favorite run from WrestleMania 12.
No, I'm pretty sure he's talking about the one that was in the red and the white outfit. Great figure.
Scott, I have to surprise you. You got swerved by Brian Breaker this week.
Oh, man.
Brian Breaker actually came up with your secret question this week.
Just when you think you can trust a guy.
He's a wrestler, dude. He's turning heel on you sometime.
He clotheslined me from behind.
He was just looking for a barbershop window to throw you through. So, Scott, and actually, I kind of told Brian, this might actually turn into a segment.
Oh.
So, it's called Keep, Sell, or Destroy. You choose three figures. So it's kind of like
FMK.
FMK. Very good. But this one's called Keep, Sell, Destroy. And you choose three figures and you keep one, sell one, destroy one.
Oh, this could totally be a segment.
You like the idea?
Dude, I'm already loving this.
We can thank Brian Breaker for this one, dude.
Thank you, Breaker, for the swerve and the segment.
Actually, since we have Brian Breaker up on the board, dude, I want to actually tell everyone, make sure you go in and vote. If the poll, I think the voting should still be up by the time the podcast drops. We are going to do another podcast with Breaker and Bane on their podcast, BBPH. You can find it on iTunes. We are going to discuss one pay-per-view, but you get to choose from four. You get to choose from In Your House 5, ECW Barely Legal 97, Elimination Chamber 2012, and Starrcade 89. So if I believe the poll should still be up, go and make sure you vote. Brian Breaker has it pinned to his Twitter. You can find him at Brian Breaker ODR. Kind of looking forward to that one, Scott.
Yeah, I just want to throw out that Starrcade 89 was awesome.
So was ECW. So was ECW Barely Legal 97.
Allegedly. Allegedly. But Starrcade 89 was stupendous.
Stupendous. So make sure you go vote for any of those four. If you just want to make sure you click ECW Barely Legal 97.
Or Starrcade 89, if so inclined.
I'm not going to say who voted for which one or who nominated each one, but...
We can't say that, but Starrcade 89, dude, really held its own.
Yeah, ECW Barely Legal had that first match of Eliminators versus Dudleys.
Right, and then I want to also point out Starrcade 89 had the Steiners versus the Road Warriors. And Sting wrestled Muda, Flair, and Luger all on the same night. But go vote. Definitely put your opinion out there. Hit the polls and let us know which pay-per-view you want us to review. Like Starrcade 89, for example. We'd really like to do that.
Lance Storm hit RVD with like the weakest chair shot ever.
That's not going to sell people on watching your pay-per-view, dude.
It also had that really cool Japanese match.
Oh, yeah. That was so much fun.
The Japanese BWO versus the Power Ranger. I can't remember what his name was.
Yes, that took more bumps in a match than I've ever seen in my life. That poor little guy was so tortured. And they're chanting Power Ranger at him, and he is just bumping all over the ring.
Yeah, so make sure you go vote for Barely Legal 97.
Or Starrcade 89.
Scott, again, back to Keep, Sell, or Destroy.
Yes.
So I'm going to throw three figures at you.
Okay.
And you have to keep one, sell one, destroy one.
Okay.
Keep, sell, destroy. Nails Hasbro.
Okay.
Ted Arcidi LJN.
Okay.
Or Virgil Hasbro.
Oh, okay. Okay. My question is, who came up with the three figures? You or Breaker?
That was me.
Oh, dude. Wow. Okay. Can we destroy all three and you just throw me three more names?
Nope, because if this comes into a segment, man, I've got to save my material.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay, okay. Wow. You know what's funny is I really remember Ted Arcidi. I think he was in the WrestleMania 2 Battle Royal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
And maybe a few enhancement matches that I saw on Superstars.
Uh-huh.
And aside from that, I never saw the guy. So... I'm going to say destroy the Ted Arcidi figure.
Okay.
Because I really didn't even know who Ted Arcidi was.
Okay.
I think I'm going to keep Nails and sell Virgil.
Make sure you get your $20 back for Virgil.
That's the goal, because I want to reimburse myself for the $20 that he charged me for that picture when he swerved me. I want my $20 back. I need my $20. Yeah, Virgil owes me for that one. So I'm selling the Virgil figure for my $20 back and I'm keeping Nails. FYI, I have no idea how much any of these figures are worth. That's not really why I collect. So I don't know if I trashed a really expensive figure and sold the cheapest one of the bunch. I really don't know. But I wasn't really a fan of any of the... I'd say if I had to pick one that I rooted for the most, it actually would be Virgil, because I really got into that feud when he was trying to wrestle the $1 million title away from the $1 million man after he got swerved on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that... Boy, that's a really crappy bunch, dude. You really should be ashamed of yourself for bringing me those three guys this week.
Well, I knew that it would make you think, though.
May God rest your soul.
I would sell the Arcidi. If it's on card, I could see getting at least some money back for Arcidi. Like some pretty good coin.
So you're coming from the actual value of it.
Yeah. Because I don't think maybe Nails Hasbro is worth some money.
See, I went more for like the sentimental.
Okay.
So if I'm going more for resale value, I'm changing my answer. But I came more from a sentimental, like my feelings about the figures themselves.
All right.
If it's a resale value, I'm changing my answer.
All right. I will sell the Nails Hasbro, keep our CD and destroy Virgil. There we go.
You're going to have to stand in line with a lot of other people that want to destroy Virgil as well.
Actually, when he has his booth up, man, there is no line.
No. He keeps talking about all this F money. I don't know how he's making that.
But you mean,
I'm really not sure.
You mean the GoFundMe stuff that isn't working.
Yeah, right. Well, actually, you know what's funny is we tried to talk Virgil down on that picture that I took with him at Wrestle Reunion 12.
Yeah.
We tried to talk him down and he was sticking to his guns, man. He wanted that $25.
Oh.
That's probably the best $25 I've ever spent in my life.
I still love that picture. You had a grin from ear to ear, dude.
I was so happy. I was so happy. And I, to this day, I don't know if he noticed my shirt.
Well, he noticed it. He just didn't piece two and two together.
So he did notice the shirt, but he probably didn't know what the FML stood for.
Right.
Gotcha.
In 2012, I don't think Virgil knew what FML stood for, but I think he might know today.
Yeah, I would love to tweet him that picture, but I'm afraid of what he come back with, actually.
What would he come back with?
I don't know. He'll probably say something stupid like, I still got your F money or something.
Probably.
Yeah, Virgil's foul.
Yeah. So that wraps up possibly our new segment.
I really like that, dude, but you got to bring some stronger figures. Like, give me like a Brett, a Savage, and a Hogan, and you're going to see me like, you're going to see smoke coming out of my ears. You're going to see me struggle.
I thought you would struggle with this one because it's like, oh, three figures I don't care about.
Well, see, that's why I was like, yeah, I'll trash them all and then just give me three new names. But okay, so if we're going to change answers based on resale value,
mm-hmm.
I am absolutely selling the Ted Arcidi on card, trashing Virgil, and keeping Nails.
How much would the Nails go for on card, though?
I don't know, but I have to assume that Arcidi on card goes more for Nails on card.
That's actually a good question.
Was Nails, I'm trying to think, was he in that, like, was he after the red card series?
Was he in the blue card? Yellow card.
So, okay, so Nails was in the yellow card series. So I'm keeping my answer as such. I'm keeping Ted Arcidi on the, I'm going to sell Ted Arcidi on the cart, and I'm going to keep Nails, trash Virgil.
So we both agree that Virgil is going to be trashed.
Right in the garbage.
Right in the garbage. So it just came down to Arcidi and Nails on which one we would sell.
Right. And that is my resale value answer. But sentimental, I'm selling Virgil because I want my $20 back. Trashing Arcidi because I had no idea really who he was, and just keeping Nails because... Do you remember an interesting Nail story before we cut to the next segment? They announced at the Oakland Coliseum back in, I believe it was 1992, that the Ultimate Warrior was going to wrestle Ric Flair in the main event.
Yes.
Warrior pulled Warrior stuff, disappeared. So then it became Undertaker versus Ric Flair.
Yep.
And we had already bought tickets. We bought tickets at Warrior versus Flair.
Yep.
Then they changed the main event to Undertaker versus Flair. And we're like, okay, that's still cool. We'll definitely go see that. Well, then Flair dropped off the card for whatever reason and was replaced by Nails. So what was supposed to be Ultimate Warrior versus Ric Flair at the top of the card became Undertaker versus Nails.
Yep. And the match lasted 13 seconds, 17 seconds?
About that. Yeah, about that. Undertaker just squashed him. It was done in a hurry and we're like, oh, great. Now, if I remember correctly, didn't Luger face Razor Ramon on that card?
No, that,
or was that headlined by Brett versus Rick Martel?
That was headlined by Brett versus Rick Martel. We went to a show in 1993 and it was heel Luger against heel Razor.
Yes, that's right.
The opening match was the Red Rooster versus the Brooklyn Brawler.
Oh gosh.
Yep.
Yuck.
Mr. Perfect faced Shawn Michaels at that show.
Oh, we were blessed.
Undertaker faced Giant Gonzalez.
Ugh. Okay.
And I think Smoking Guns against Head Shrinkers?
Yes. Oh, that was hard hitting. Remember when one of the Head Shrinkers smacked one of the Smoking Guns on the back with a plastic chair?
Was it that show or was it that tag team extravaganza that we had at the Oakland Coliseum?
Oh, that might have been it, man. Because I just remember the Smoking Gun getting smacked with that plastic chair, dude.
And it echoed, man. It lit up the Coliseum, dude.
I hope he warned him that he was going to send it to his back because he just smacked the crap out of him. And that Smoking Gun went down in a heap, dude.
Do you remember someone threw a soda at Shawn Michaels and Michaels got heated and got the dude kicked out?
Ah, a big crybaby he was.
Yeah, he was ready to...
That was in his immature phase.
Yeah, he was ready to go after the guy too.
Yeah, I don't blame him. But dude, do you remember the interview... the promo that Razor Ramon cut on TV for that show when he called Luger horseface?
Yeah.
How funny was that? He's like, hey, horseface.
Hey, yo, horseface.
Oh my gosh. To this day, we still call Luger horseface because of that promo.
Because of that promo, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's not so much of a horse face anymore, but when he was totally yoked, he was totally a horse face.
And this was actually right before Luger went and slammed Yoko.
Yes, before Luger turned face, yes.
It was like two...
This was, he was still the narcissist.
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks before, I believe.
Yes, it was. It was almost like, let's see if we can get him over as a good guy before we fully turn him.
And Luger had to wear the elbow pad because of the screws in his forearm.
Yeah, it was in like May or June or something like that, right?
Yep.
When this happened?
Yep.
So it was a few weeks before the July 4th where he slammed Yoko on the ship.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. Hey, horse face. That was hilarious. To this day, I remember that, dude. That was great.
Oh, Scott. Oh, by the way, we have to come up with new music if we do Keep, Sell, or Destroy.
Yes, we do. And we can't use Metallica Seek and Destroy. So maybe Million Dollar Man's music?
We could. We'll have to mold this around.
Yes. Yes. We'll give it much thought.
What was some horrible themes? Samoa Joe. We'll use Samoa Joe's. That's horrible.
Samoa Joe's first music was awful.
His new music is still bad.
It's, but dude, it's a huge improvement over what it was.
Yeah. It's like shining up poop, dude.
Yeah. It's like putting syrup on a turd and trying to pass it off as pancakes, but it's still better than what it was.
Exactly. We'll have to come up with new music for that.
We'll think about it.
Scott, but we will be going into Who Booked this week. So what do you say we jump into that?
Let's talk about that.
Scott, this week we are doing Who Booked This? And this week, what did we decide upon? I'm going to let you go because I know that this upsets, infuriates, makes you mad, angers you to no end.
It causes me much furiousness. And we've discussed it on several podcasts that the Queen Charlotte does not have an elite, much less a defining moments action figure. On top of that, the Charlotte figures that we have been given, which would be a basic about almost 2 years ago, and the horse face version that was packaged with the Ric Flair in the battle pack, are the Charlottes that we've been given so far, and it's infuriating. And I want to know who at Mattel is booking this crap, because we need a Charlotte in the robe with the women's title. We need it. It's not a want. It's not a request. It's a need. Like, now, immediately, give us an elite or a defining moment, or at worst, a network exclusive Charlotte action figure. Come on, Mattel.
Man, they didn't even make medals, WWE medals of her.
I don't get it.
They haven't made any Funkos of her.
Nope.
What's going on? Like, the two basics that we've gotten have been complete trash.
Agree. I mean, the first one that came out is definitely the lesser of the two evils that we've been given. But, I mean, look at Sasha has had a basic and an elite. Becky has been given a basic and has an elite that we've seen the rendering of coming out very soon. Bayley has been given a basic and a network exclusive. Charlotte has been given essentially two basic figures, one of which was, okay, if that's the Charlotte I have to take first, I'll take it. But then the second offering was in the battle pack with Flair, and it's just awful. I mean, just a horrible figure. And that's what the women's champion, that they're completely hyping her pay-per-view win streak, that's the action figure assortment that we're being given? Come on.
Yeah.
They've got to decide better on that with Charlotte. I mean, she's at the top of the card right now, and she's not being treated fairly at all with their action figures.
One thing that I do want to point out, none of the Bellas have had elite figures either.
That's true, but they have been given, what, three or four battle packs?
Yes.
And they've all been good.
Yeah, they've been good. They haven't, it's not like they've missed on them. They've been good, but they haven't gotten any elites or any, I don't think that Bellas should be getting any defining moments, but they haven't had anything like that. But as you said, they've been good.
They have, and they've been given quite a few basics as well. So we've had a good number of Bella figures available to us. But such a big deal was made about the four horsewomen and their impact on the women's scene right now in WWE. But you wouldn't know that Charlotte was a major piece of that given the action figures that they've offered of her. And it's really, really disappointing. I don't know on what side the ball was dropped, be it Mattel's design team, Mattel's creative team, Mattel's decision team on who's getting figures made when. But they need to work this out, dude. That's why I'm really hoping that we're given a surprise of a Charlotte figure that's a network exclusive and we just don't know about it yet. Or will be offered at San Diego Comic-Con as an exclusive. I doubt they would do that. Charlotte is too big of a name to just do an exclusive like that. But give us something. Give us a better Charlotte figure. She deserves it, man. I mean, when I watch the show, I'm rooting against Charlotte because she's such a good heel.
Yeah.
But she's bringing so much with the women's revolution in WWE right now. She needs to be shown that love with an action figure, especially an elite or a defining moment or a network exclusive. We need to have that.
I don't understand why they keep pushing that to the side. I think that there maybe is a defining moment Charlotte in the works. This year's already been booked up with the Flair, the Nakamura, Savage, and then I think it was Jericho that won for the last one.
Correct.
There's the four already for this year. So maybe she's in next year's.
Oh man, it's going to leave a bad taste in my mouth. If I have to wait that long for a good Charlotte figure, it's just going to leave a bad taste in my mouth. And it really is just a disrespect to Charlotte, because I know a lot of our listeners would love to have a really good elite Charlotte figure. Yeah. I think it would sell really well. Look, even Asuka has had an elite.
Oh yeah.
Granted, it's her only figure, but even she's been given an elite, and she's in NXT.
Yeah, and Alexa Bliss, her basic was really, really good.
It was. And you look at the females that have had figures, be it elite or basics, and just Charlotte is getting zero love. I don't know who's booking this. Yeah. I really don't.
Yeah. Who decided to book this? And even, you know what? Another thing is they've nailed every Naomi figure.
Yeah, they do really well with Naomi. For the most part, they do pretty good with Natalya. Like you said, Alexis figure is pretty good. Lemonface Becky will be atoned for with the Elite Becky, hopefully. They're doing a really, really good job with Bayley. Sasha is a miss for me so far on her face scans. But Charlotte is just a huge disappointment with their offerings, and she's getting no love, and I really don't get it.
I don't either.
Who booked this crap?
Who booked this? Damn. Scott, that will wrap up episode 56. Again, you can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. Go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. Again, please keep those reviews coming on iTunes. Those help us out a lot. You can email us any questions, comments, wish lists, fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Again, Scott, that's fully posable.
Nah, we already did that bit.
W as in, no, I'm just joking. And also go hunt down Brian Breaker's Twitter. Make sure you get those votes in. It'll probably be last minute when this podcast drops. Vote for your pay-per-view that you want to hear us talk about with him and Bane on their show. So make sure you go to vote for ECW Barely Legal 97. I'm not saying who nominated who.
I will say that it's really going to be fun talking about Starrcade 89 with those guys. I look forward to it.
You know what, dude? It's a great show with them every single time. I actually went back and listened to when we did the show with the video games with them.
Yes, that was so much fun, dude.
That was awesome, man. And every time we all get together, it's just it's just an easy talk. It's a great show. It's free flowing. It's awesome.
Well, when you get four guys with similar interests like that, like our conversation with Michael Moore, there's an easy jumping off point, and it's a common interest. And it's so much fun to talk about video. It's stuff we're passionate about.
Right.
So talking about wrestling video games, dude, no problem. I could go for a couple hours on that easily by myself, much less having three other guys that are totally interested in the same thing as me. Easy conversation.
I could see you sitting in a dark room going, oh man, the magical N64 4. Oh man, those were great.
I'll sit in a dark room, rock in the corner by myself, talk about wrestling video games. I call that Friday night.
Your Friday nights are better than mine, dude. So that wraps up episode 56. Scott, with all that said, anything else?
Yes. Buy the shirt. Go buy the Fig Life shirt. And happy toy hunting.
Yes. $25 will get you the hashtag Fig Life t-shirt. I will throw in something. And Scott, don't make it perverted, dude. Don't. No.
Maybe something with Fully Posable on it?
Okay, that was good. You know what this is like? This is like the Jeopardy skit on SNL where you're Connery.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, that's good. That's good. And then you throw like a curveball. I'm like, oh, there it is.
See, right there, I was well-behaved Sean Connery.
Yes, it will be a shirt with Fully Posable on it. And the hashtag Fig Life writing on it, too.
And a special gift.
And a special gift that I will throw in. Don't, no, don't you do it.
It might be.
What?
It might be something with Fully Posable on it.
Yes, there we go. Well, let's keep it.
Well-behaved Sean Connery again.
Are you feeling all right?
I haven't had anything to drink.
Oh, okay, there we go. Last week you did?
Yeah. Last week I had a little flask sitting next to me. So by the end segment, dude, I was raw.
Dude, we still need to do that drunk segment with you.
I would really enjoy that. I really would.
I think I have to have special guest Sean in. Oh, wait, no, special guest Sean doesn't drink anymore.
No, he doesn't, but...
I think he's done. I think that 4th of July party or that July 3rd party was... That was it for him.
So I couldn't tell him to take one for the Fully Posable team and get the Jaeger out again?
I don't think so, dude.
Not happening, huh?
No. It would be a short podcast because he would be done in about 20 minutes.
20 minutes and he's like, "Guy, I got to go puke. I'm good." He's like, "Happy toy hunting. I'm out."
Let me see. Maybe I can get the editor to drink. Oh, she doesn't do hard alcohol anymore. Oh, all right. We're going to have to find somebody to sit in.
Guys, we're looking for a drunk is what we're saying. So if you enjoy drinking or talking while drunk, hit us up. It's Fully Posable, WFP.
at gmail.com.
W as in we'll get wasted. F as in falling down. And P as in puking later.
F as in effed up.
Hey, easy. We're a family podcast.
Hey, I didn't say it.
F as in family podcast. Come on. Oh, that's an F and a P.
Oh. All right, Scott. With all that said, anything else?
Yeah, really, that last segment just really went off the rails, didn't it? But I'll close with, again, happy toy hunting.
Hashtag fig life. Adios.